Welcome to the Purpose Founder Podcast. We're so excited that you're here. This is a weekly recap of the Life Gathering that happens on Wednesdays at 1:30 Eastern Standard Time. Join our Facebook discipleship page and receive updates and content information and connect with people from all around the world. We're so excited that you're joining us today.
Today's verse, we're going to be going through Galatians 2:20, and that's what encapsulates everything that we're going to be speaking about. So Galatians 2:20 says, I have been crucified with Christ, and I no longer live, but Christ lives in me. The life I now live in the body, I live by faith in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. What does it mean to have Christ at the center of it all? How can we practically put Jesus in the middle of everything in our lives? Everything in our lives. Today, we're going to break down Galatians 2:20, and we're going to get some context of the book of Galatians and see whom it was written to and why. Then we will see what we can take from it and apply the message Paul conveyed. Today, I have three practical points on how we can have Jesus at the center of it all. So my three points today is going to be point number one, crucified with Christ. Point number two, live by faith. And point number three, live in the Spirit. So without further ado, let's get to it. Point number one, crucified with Christ. The Bible verse for this point is Matthew 16:24. Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone wants to follow after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. Paul was writing to both groups of Messianic Christians and the Gentile Christians. If you're not familiar with what Messianic Christian is, it's just the Jew who's a Christian. There was wrong doctrine going around saying that the Gentiles needed to follow Jewish traditions in order to be true Christians. In this letter to the Galatian church, Paul is letting them know that the law has never made us righteous, that we have obtained righteousness through faith in Jesus alone. The law was fulfilled by Jesus, and the law demanded justice for sin of us all. And Jesus took on the death the law brought for our sake. And there are two parts of being crucified with Jesus. Part one, Paul was talking about being crucified from the requirements of the law when we accept Jesus. We are saying yes to his extended hand of mercy and grace and to the price he paid for us. And we take his spot in righteousness through his fulfillment of the law. And he took the price of our unrighteousness on the cross. So there was a big swap. We got what we didn't deserve and what he deserved. And he got what we did deserve and he didn't deserve. Or he got what I think you get the point. But there was a swap in righteousness. So, not in righteousness, because God, Jesus is righteous. So, okay. So now in part two, the second part of being crucified with Christ is crucifying our own desires of the flesh. We are called to leave our old habits and desires behind in order to follow Jesus. This implies that we can leave the old behind and we can live holy lives. The enemy likes to convince us that certain sins are too hard to let go of. But when we live and walk in the Spirit, we are more than able. 1 Corinthians 10:13 says, no temptation has overtaken you that is not common to men. God is faithful and he will not let you be tempted beyond your ability. But with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. Let me break that verse down. He's essentially saying that there's really no temptation that we can't overcome. And on top of that, when he says, but with the temptation, it's not or, but with the temptation, he will also provide the way of escape. So not only does he give us the strength to resist, but he also provides a way of escape. So really, we have no reason to fall in the lies of the enemy where he lies to us sometimes and tells us that any sin is too strong for us to overcome. It is not when we are living in the Spirit. We all have to crucify our flesh, and we all have to slay our giants, and we all have what it takes in Christ to overcome and live in freedom and victory. So being crucified with Christ, there's two parts to it. The first part, we are being crucified from keeping the law or being righteous through the law, because it's just impossible. We cannot do it within ourselves. So when we crucify ourselves, in the second part of it, when we are being crucified in our desires, also, I don't know if you've noticed, but that's also hard to do within our own self. I'll be honest with you guys. I've tried it myself. I've tried going, and not intentionally, but sometimes life gets busy, and that's not an excuse, right? But, you know, I've been there. So like life gets busy. I don't pray for like 3, 4, 5 days. And then I'm trying to be a good Christian within my own works. And always 100% of the time, it never fails, I always end up falling flat and always end up just messing up everything. And then it's not until I get filled again with the Holy Spirit that I realize, okay, I cannot do this walk alone. In order to walk in faithfulness, we got to be filled with the Spirit. So point number one, crucified with Christ. How is that related to keeping Jesus at the center of it all? Well, if we crucify ourselves and if we crucify our desires, then we don't wander into idolatry, into the things that we want to engage in our flesh. You know, whether that is, honestly, it could be anything. Well, anything that's not Jesus, right? We all have those sins that we are prone to going to if we don't keep our life aligned in the Spirit and being filled in the Spirit, right? Whatever it is for you, you know what it is. I can name them all, but I'm pretty sure you know what it is. So again, point number one, crucified with Christ. When we are being crucified, when we crucify our flesh through the Spirit, we will walk aligned with his will, and we will not be drifted to another or to an idol, and we'll keep him at the center. Point number two, live by faith. And the verse for this is Romans chapter 4, verses 22 and 25. And I really, guys, I say just read the whole book of Romans. Read the whole Bible, but Romans is insane. In a good way. This is why it was credited to him as righteousness. The words "it was credited to him" were written not for him alone, but also for us, to whom God will credit righteousness for us who believe in him, who raised Jesus, our Lord, from the dead. He was delivered over to death for our sins and was raised to life for our justification. And when he's talking about him, so credit it to him, he's talking about Abraham. And the whole, I mean, you know, just to give you a little more context, he's basically saying that Abraham was justified by faith, not by the law. He was justified by his faith in God, and that because he had faith, that it was accredited to him righteousness. And in the same way, we are righteous when we give our life to Jesus and believe in what Jesus did on the cross. The Jewish Christians were telling the Gentiles that they had to follow the law in order to be true followers of Jesus. And Paul explains that this is counterintuitive to our faith in Jesus. Galatians 2:21 says, "I do not set aside the grace of God, for righteousness comes through the law. If righteousness comes through the law, then Christ died for nothing." And I tell people all this all the time, who try to live their walk in Jesus by works-based salvation, which basically means that you got to keep doing good stuff in order to earn your way into heaven. Which is, if that was the case, like listing things through practically, if that was the case, if we really could be saved by what we do and what we don't do, then what would be the reason for Jesus to die on the cross? Like seriously, if that was the case, if we were able to obtain salvation that way, there would be no need for him to die on the cross. And that's what Paul is saying there. So if we are able to obtain, okay, I already said all that in my notes. So we are righteous, not through the law, but through faith in the death and resurrection of Jesus. Romans talks about the faith of Abraham. Paul uses it as a parallel to righteousness obtained through faith in Christ. And we remain in Jesus by faith in Christ. How do we practically remain in Christ? We must have faith in all seasons, through the good and through the bad, the easy and the hard times. We must remain in faith while we are waiting for an answered prayer. We must remain in faith even when we have fallen short and sinned, to go to our Father, go to the throne of grace and ask for forgiveness, confess our sin unto him and ask and know that we will receive forgiveness for our sins. We don't remain in Christ by what we do or what we don't do. We remain in Christ by our faith alone. Sure, our faith will lead us to good works for the kingdom of God, but this is not to keep us in right standing with God. Our right standing comes from Jesus and what he did on the cross. So when we give our life to Jesus, I'm sorry, God doesn't see us. He sees the righteousness of Jesus that was imputed into us. And imputed just means it was given to us through what he did. Now we obtained it. He did on the cross. Now we obtained righteousness because he, again, the big switcheroo. We got what we didn't deserve and he got what he didn't deserve. And thankfully, now we have salvation through Jesus Christ. So live by faith. How is that practically going to help me to keep Christ in the center of it all? So remaining in faith, we remember that he is our source of everything. When we remember, even in the hard times, that's when it's usually hard to keep our faith, right? When we are going through struggles, when we are going through a storm, when we are going through a phase or a time of need and hunger, or whatever it may be for you and your circumstance. Those are the moments where it's really hard to keep the faith. But we keep the faith. And the reason why we keep the faith, number one, because we need it to survive, really, in our spiritual walk with Jesus. And even in our physical, we need to remember all the things that God has done to the point where we're at in this moment. And through remembrance, it activates faith. And it does something in our hearts where we start. That's why it's so powerful to just in the middle of all the disaster, in the middle of all of our mess, it is very important to praise God, even in the hard times. And that's why those praises are even much sweeter, because you are remembering, you are activating your faith, you are activating a heart of gratitude when you remember and you glorify God because of the things he has done, and you know that he is good. He is good then, he is good now, and he will remain good because that is his character, and that will sustain us through it all. So that's how we keep Jesus at the center of it all. If we remain in faith, if we remain in remembrance of the things he has done and with a heart full of gratitude, then we will stay within the will of Christ. And we won't be tempted to go off and try to find another way or another idol to try to find whatever we need, right? All right. So point number two or number three is going to be live in the Spirit. So the Bible verse for this is Romans 8:11. The Spirit of God who raised Jesus from the dead lives in you. And just as God raised Christ Jesus from the dead, he will give life to your mortal bodies by this same Spirit living within you. I love this verse. This is honestly one of my favorite verses. I just want to say this. We are not powerless. We are not powerless. If we fall into a place of desperation, that's because we are listening to the wrong voice. God has given us everything we need to be victorious. So if you're having a sin issue and it just keeps repeating itself and you have fallen into the lie that you can't overcome it, that's a lie. I'm telling you, that's a lie. You can overcome any sin. The power of Jesus, the power of the Holy Spirit, the blood of Christ is more powerful than anything the enemy could try to throw at us. So, all right, moving on with this point. Paul was letting the Galatians know that circumcision, because, okay, so just give you a little more context. Not only it was a keeping the law type of thing, it was also, hey, you got to, which I guess was part of the law, you could say, but you got to also be circumcised, you know, to be a real Jew or to be a real Christian, right? Because you have to be first a Jew or become a Jew and follow our ways. And then, so basically, they were adding on to Jesus. And how many times do we know that when you try to add anything to Jesus, it's just not going to work out well? Jesus is sufficient on his own. There is nothing that needs to be added on to Jesus. So it's not Jesus plus circumcision. It's not Jesus plus the United States government. It's not Jesus plus $1,000 or $100,000. It is Jesus. Jesus, Jesus himself. And that is sufficient. That is suffice. And it is more than enough. So Paul was telling them that, hey, it's not, you don't have to be circumcised in order to receive Jesus. Jesus is enough on his own. And the true changing power doesn't come from these practices that were practiced for 100 years, you know. And guys, to be fair, God did tell the Jewish people to do that, to be set aside as his people, as a sign that they were his people, right? But now in this new covenant in Jesus, we are no longer needing the old way or the old practices of the covenant. We are now in a new covenant in Jesus, our high priest. So now there is a new spiritual circumcision, per se, if you want to call it that. And that is the Holy Spirit that it is given to us when we accept Jesus. And the true changing power comes from that Holy Spirit that we receive when we accept Jesus through faith. If we were to revert back to living by trying to keep the law in our own efforts, that will negate the Spirit. It will be impossible to keep the law without the Spirit. Paul says, if we live in the Spirit naturally by the fruit of the Spirit, we will keep the law by being empowered to love one another. So often I'm asked again, how do I overcome temptation? Well, are you living in the Spirit? Oftentimes we want an easy way out. We just want God to deliver us from everything and to make us perfect overnight. And we don't want to put in the time spent with Jesus to be filled with his Holy Spirit in order to be conquerors of whatever is trying to take over our bodies. If we want to keep Christ at the center of it all, if we want to keep Christ in the center of it all, we got to keep the Spirit of God in the center of our beings. Trying to live the Christian life without the Holy Spirit is like trying to drive a car with no gas. Have you ever tried driving a car with no gas? It sounds ridiculous, right? It's impossible. You can't. And that's the same way trying to walk in faith, trying to do this life with Jesus, but not spending the time with him to be filled in order that we could continue to expand his kingdom and just love one another and keep his ways and all that he has for us. It's just, we can't do it without the Holy Spirit. So you might be new here and you might not even necessarily be a Christian yet. I know a lot of Christians believe in the Holy Spirit, and then there's some that, and if this is your belief, you know, I'm not knocking on it, but, you know, I know that the Holy Spirit is a big issue within the church and different denominations. But so how do we get filled with the Holy Spirit? So number one, I just want to give you practical tools on how we can do that. Number one, acknowledge the Holy Spirit. He is real and he's our helper. The Bible calls him our helper, our advocate. Or Jesus is our advocate. But yes, the Holy Spirit is our helper. So how do we grow in the Holy Spirit? Invite him into everything we do. You know, before you read the Bible, sometimes I get people asking me, you know, I read the Bible, man, but it's just hard for me to understand. It's because you're trying to do it alone. You're not doing it with the one who reveals his own self, the word, right? You know, we need, every time I pray, I always ask God, or not pray, but every time I read the word of God and I'm going to study, I always ask the Holy Spirit, Holy Spirit, help me understand what I'm about to read. Because the Bible can't be complicated. There's a lot of things that you got to take into consideration. You can't just read it like a book. I mean, technically you can, but you probably don't want to do it that way. Like, just read it just like any other book, because then you'll miss out a lot of good nutrition, a spiritual nutrition that's within the context and within just the way it's set up and all that good stuff. But so, yes, point is, invite the Holy Spirit when you read the Bible. Ask him, Holy Spirit, teach me what you are trying to say to me. Reveal to me and help me understand this passage. Part number two, step two is prayer. Pray. We cannot be like, every time we pray and we are in the presence of God, we are being filled with the Holy Spirit. And, you know, not to get controversial, there might be some of you guys that don't believe in speaking in tongues, but if you do, hey, pray in the tongues, pray in tongues and be filled in the Spirit. And I just want to say one thing. There, you don't, you know, if you can't pray in the tongue, if you can't pray in tongues, it doesn't make you less of a Christian. It doesn't make you less faithful. It doesn't make you none of that stuff. I just want to address that. Like, you know, and, you know, maybe you just don't believe in it. If that's you, then I you know, respectfully recommend that you ask God and you pray about it, because I speak in tongues. I know it's very real. I didn't even, you know, small part of my testimony is not even, I didn't even know it was a thing until I got saved. It just hit me and I just was speaking in tongues. So it is very real. I could testify to that. But yes, I just want to say, it doesn't mean that you're not saved if you can't, you know, just ask. If you want to, ask the Holy Spirit. And then part number three on how we could grow in the Spirit is renewing our mind through the reading of the word. And again, inviting the Holy Spirit, renewing our mind through the reading of the word. We notice that when we learn the word and when we keep the word and meditate the word in our hearts, in our mind, that when we are going through something, when the enemy tries to come and lie and whisper in your ear, which I've had multiple times, it happens a lot. The word of God, the Holy Spirit brings in remembrance the word of God to counteract whatever the enemy is trying to lie and whisper into my ear. So, all right, guys, I don't want to go too long, but so how does that practically help me keep Jesus in the center of it all? Well, being filled with the Holy Spirit keeps us aligned with his will. When we are filled with the Spirit of God, we are naturally inclined. We gravitate to the will of God. We don't have to force anything. I don't know about y'all, but when I'm in God's presence and I spend some good time in the reading of my word and just being filled by the Holy Spirit, I don't have to try my hardest to go out there and love my neighbor. It just comes naturally. It's just something within me that just wants to do it naturally. It doesn't even feel like a weight. It doesn't feel like a burden. It just feels like part of life, and it feels great. So that is a practical way to keep Jesus at the center. It's the biggest one out of all these three points. The biggest one is to keep living in the Spirit. So maybe you're new here. And maybe you're new and you've never given your life to Jesus, and you're asking, okay, like, this all sounds great. I want to keep Jesus at the center. I want the Holy Spirit in my life. How do I get the Holy Spirit? Good question. Jesus. Again, Jesus, Jesus, Jesus. So, do you know Jesus personally? Isaiah 53:6 says, all of us, like sheep, have gone astray. Each of us has turned to his own way, but the Lord has caused the iniquity of us all to fall on him. Romans 6:23 says, for the wages of sin is death, but the free gift of God is eternal life through Christ Jesus, our Lord. So, What do these verses mean for those who might not know Jesus or are barely learning about Jesus? We have a little picture here. If you can see on the screen, there's a little person that represents all of us. That represents humanity. So the wages of sin is death. We're on this side, on the left side where we're at. And then you see there is a gap. And on the other side, that is where God is at. The gift of God and eternal life. That is where God himself is at. And through the disobedience of Adam and Eve, through what they did and they disobeyed God, sin entered humanity. And it basically plagued us. It plagued us, and now it was hard for us to really keep God and live in righteousness. And it was hard for us to keep his ways. But there's a big but. And that is Jesus himself. Again, Jesus is more than enough. So Jesus, we see here in a little picture, and Jesus, he died on the cross. He died. He took our death that we deserved, and he gave us an access point through himself, only him. There's no other name. There is no other way. It is Jesus himself, the way to the Father and the way to salvation. And this illustration shows it very well. And now, because of what Jesus has done, we are able to cross to the other side into eternal life and into eternal relationship with God and Jesus. So now you might be asking, okay, how do I cross that line? I want to cross that line. I've never given my life to Jesus. I've never confessed Jesus as my Lord and Savior, but I want to do it now. Well, we'll say this prayer and we'll say it all together. And this is a confession of Jesus. Let me see here. Romans. Sorry, guys. I mean, should have been more prepared. But so Romans chapter 10, verse 9 says, when you confess with your mouth Jesus is Lord and believe in your heart that God raised Jesus from the dead, you are saved. You get the gift of eternal life. So this is the confession part. You might already be feeling, and you already know in your heart that Jesus God rose Jesus from the dead. And now you want to actually confess him as your Lord and Savior. So let's say it right now. Father God, I know that I'm a sinner and that I need you to forgive me. I know that your son Jesus died a painful death and rose again, so that my sins could be washed clean. Thank you, Jesus. I want to make you the Lord of my life, and I will trust and follow you, and everything I have is yours. In the name of Jesus.
Thank you for joining our Purpose Founder podcast. If you made a decision for Christ today, fill out the link below and let us know so we can send you a free devotional and get connected with you. We also want to remind you to join our Facebook discipleship page and get connected with us and people all around the world. Until next time, we'll see you soon.